I'd like now to welcome Priyanka Kumar. She is a filmmaker and author. Her new novel, her first novel, is Take Wing and Fly Here, and she will be speaking tonight in a program for the Santa Fe chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Mexico at 6:30 at the Christ Lutheran Church on Arroyo Chamiso right here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks.
So you will be speaking tonight in a program. It's called Birding and Planting Together, and your novel is very much about birds and birding and bird watching. How did you start bird watching? I mean, this is a book written by somebody who has to be at least as obsessed with birds as her protagonist.
That's right. Well, I was teaching filmmaking at UC Santa Cruz, and one December we went to the Elkhorn Slough, that's just south of Santa Cruz, for a little hike. And what made it interesting is that there were two volunteers there with battered copies of the National Geographic Guide to Birds, and they gave us little tour of the slough, and I became fascinated with shorebirds and a long-billed curlew eating her lunch. In fact, I lingered so long I was chased away by a crab. And I found...
What was the crab's problem?
I don't know. I think he thought I was overstaying. And I found that after that afternoon, the way I looked at the world changed forever. I would find myself in a parking lot in downtown Santa Cruz on my way to a restaurant, and I'd see some birds on a tree, and I'd get very excited, and it would be a highlight for me. And so I started to find out what these birds were, and I started going on birding trips. By this time I moved back to Southern California, which really is a mecca for bird watching, and I became more and more involved in the subculture, and it really is a subculture of birding. And this went on for about a decade.
Now, what was it about birds? Was it their look? Was it their behavior, their social activity?
Well, I think that humans have always been fascinated by birds. Birds are bipedal, as humans are, except birds have wings, which we don't. And I think we've always been fascinated by flight. You know, there's always this fantasy, I think, that we have as children or even as adults. We wish we could just fly somewhere, and that's something that our minds can do, but our bodies can't.
And in our dreams we do.
Yes, exactly. So we can relate to birds in that way. I mean, I think that they have a charm that can take us out of some of the banal experiences of our life. And there's a tenacity that they have. I think their migration is something that's always fascinated me, how they can push so hard, how they can get to such far-flung places. And I think all of these things just came together. It was also a time in my life when I felt that I didn't want to just be staying in a room and, you know, just writing at a computer. I felt that our society was moving too much in that direction, and so I just wanted to be out there. I wanted to do the opposite of that.
One of the things that bird watchers do, and this is something that the protagonist in your book does, is basically collect as many different species as they can, see as many different species. And I just think, is this an American thing where you take anything at all and make it into a competition?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I think you've hit upon the core of what I am trying to explore in this trilogy of books that's called the New West Trilogy. You know, is spending time with outdoors also an activity that's become about our egos? Does it have to be about us always? Is there a new way that we can interact with the outdoors, where maybe instead of us, the birds or animals or plant life are the protagonists? And how will that change us as humans if we can have that kind of mental shift? I mean, these are some questions that I hope readers will ask after reading the book.
What about you? I mean, what is your experience like? Like, do you go, okay, I'm going to go on vacation, or I'm going to spend a Saturday and go watch birds?
Yeah, I do.
So what's that experience like? What do you do?
I think that when I first started, I was really into lists, so I do empathize with my protagonist. But as it went on, as the years rolled on by, I felt that It was going to be a very narrow activity if that's all I did. And I felt that birding is much more interesting if it's done in context. So if I'm thinking about bird habitat, the kinds of plants they prefer, you know, what kind of flowers are blooming when that attract them, about land conservation, without which, you know, we have no birds because they have no places to feed at. So I found that my intellectual life was a lot richer, and my experiences were a lot richer when I started to bird in context. And so now for me, it is much more of a holistic activity.
It's funny that the noun bird has been made into a verb.
That's right.
To bird.
Well, you see, again, it's all about us. We bird.
Right. But what you just said, I think, is very important, and I imagine that your work with your lecture tonight with the Native Plant Society speaks to this, is that birds really shouldn't and can't be seen out of context. They survive and thrive or are challenged depending on what's happening in their ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, and I think one way in which my life has changed through all of this is that conservation is not something that I look at is an activity outside of me, because I think we often think that we can set aside a park and we've done a great thing as a community. But I really think that we need more collective action as individuals. So for me, what that means is that you know, I love to plant native plants in my garden. So I know there's certain plants that attract the hummingbirds, certain plants that, you know, attract the goldfinches. And actually, you were asking me about my birding experiences. I think some of my best birding experiences have come just in my garden, just watching, you know, during migration, an amazing bird, like recently a tanager, come by, and they usually travel in pairs. So it's a colorful, the male is quite colorful, yellow and orange stripes. And so the male and the female tanager coming together and just hanging out on a juniper tree, or kind of looking, you know, if there are any fruit trees that might be of interest. I mean, I think that's been a really rewarding experience for me.
Do you plant your yard in such a way that birds will come?
I do, yeah. That's really big for me. And when I moved to Santa Fe, I've been here about 6 years, I got in touch fairly fast with the Forest Service here and started to ask them, you know, what native trees would be good for attracting birds and other wildlife. And it's so much fun because the garden just comes to life and there's just all kinds of creatures there. And you don't even have to go very far to bird then.
And it also gives you, as you said, a different perspective on conservation, because you see how all these elements are interacting.
Yeah, and you know, it actually feeds into a lot of other things, because then I realize, oh, I don't really want to put any pesticides on my garden because I wouldn't want the birds to you know, be poisoned in any way. And it kind of encourages you to compost. And we have a big compost pile in the back. And because that's all good stuff, that instead of going into the landfill, is then going back again into your garden to feed the plants that are then going to attract the birds. So it becomes more of a circle. You start to think about saving water. Because again, you're thinking about those plants that the birds are going to want to come to.
I have to ask, do you use bird feeders?
I don't. And I had this interesting experience a couple of years ago. I went to a talk in Santa Fe that was about attracting hummingbirds, and it was given by an organization that counts hummingbirds. And to my astonishment...
Counts hummingbirds.
They do hummingbird counts all over the country.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I thought they were going to talk a lot about native plants, and I'm very interested in what attracts hummingbirds. For example, here, you know, all kinds of Augustaches, Mojave sages, Russian sages. And to my astonishment, the speaker mainly just had photographs of hummingbird feeders and hummingbirds coming to hummingbird feeders. And I felt that here's, you know, I know that people have hummingbird feeders and enjoy hummingbird feeders, but I...
Well, you can put them at the level of your kitchen window, for example.
That's true. Or you could plant, a firecracker penstemon right next to your kitchen window, and which is what I've done, and they're right there, and they really come, and they really love, sipping the nectar.
I was in a plant nursery, I think it was last year, the year before, and there was a sign on one of the plants that said, 10 out of 10 hummingbirds prefer hummingbird plants to the sugar water that you put in or something like that.
Well, that's great, yeah.
Now, this is the first book in a trilogy, the New West Trilogy. What's that all about?
Yeah, so, we think of the West in a certain way in popular culture, maybe as a place that has unlimited expanses of land. That place obviously no longer exists. So what do we have now? And how is our relationship with the outdoors changing? After almost two decades of living and traveling in the American West, I'm exploring these questions. The first book deals a lot with people going out and looking for birds. It's about a PhD candidate in physics whose life begins to unravel after he takes on a big year challenge to see the most number of bird species in Los Angeles County.
Now, this big year challenge, is that something that people really do?
Yes, absolutely. And they will sometimes pick a county, they'll sometimes pick a state, or they'll pick the entire country, which is actually really expensive because then you have to, fly and crisscross all across the country and sometimes just at the drop of a hat.
To go see the bird that happens to be there.
You hear, you're constantly, calling some bird hotline and you find out that, a freak occurrence and a bird has shown up. And so you're just booking flights.
I mean, this is a subculture where they have hotlines for...
Exactly.
But meanwhile, the protagonist in the book takes a big year challenge to see as many birds... many different species of birds. So here again, we have a competition and there's other people participating in the competition, and that's part of the whole drama. Where do you go from here?
Yes. So the second book is called Double Yellow, and a female character, Luna, who's a singer, who's introduced in the first book, moves to New Mexico, and she becomes involved in an FBI investigation about amateur archaeologists in New Mexico. And so it is her observation of the outdoors here. And then in the third book, which is called The High Sierras, J.K., who is the protagonist in the first book, comes back. And J.K. and Luna hike and backpack through the Sierras before they decide if they'll get married.
And we will wait and see what happens next. Do you have any favorite places that you've been to watch birds? Have you had any kind of highlight experiences?
Yeah, certainly in New Mexico, we're very lucky to have the Bosque. And I began going to the Bosque ever since, my first winter here in Santa Fe. And I think there's nothing like it when you're there in January and you see tens of thousands of sandhill cranes and tens of thousands of snow geese and Ross's geese flying overhead. It's a different way of being when you're in a space where humans are far outnumbered by birds. And that's really been my favorite birding experience here, although I think we're incredibly lucky in Santa Fe to have the Randall Davy Audubon Society, which is a showcase for both native plants and birds, and I often find myself on a Saturday morning hanging out there and taking photographs or just kind of chilling out.
We're talking to Priyanka Kumar. In your book, the character J.K., it has a girlfriend who's really not interested in birding, and as you can imagine, things kind of go south. Is that typical? I mean, if you are in a relationship, did both people have to be birders for it to work?
Well, what I've found is that it's easy to go from birding to extreme birding. And when you're doing a big year, that's definitely extreme birding. And when you are engaged in extreme birding, that does take a big toll on both your personal and your professional life.
Did you do a big year yourself?
I didn't, but I watched other people do it. I thought about it, and I decided that I'd be better off just writing about it.
Very interesting. Priyanka Kumar is author of the new novel, Take Wing and Fly Here. It's the first of a trilogy, the New West Trilogy, and she will be speaking tonight in a program called Birding and Planting Together. It's part of the Santa Fe chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Mexico. It's at 6:30, free and open to the public, and it's at the Christ Lutheran Church at 1701 Arroyo Chamiso. So you'll be sharing, among other things, the experiences you've had of planting so that birds will come.
That's right, exactly. And I'll also be sharing how my observation of bird and plant life has influenced my storytelling. It's certainly made me more observant of nature and consequently maybe, I hope, more observant of people.
Priyanka Kumar, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.